On the Brink is the title of a new memoir by former Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. In it, Paulson reflects on the Bush administration's efforts to pull the country back from the precipice of financial ruin, including the unpopular, though some say necessary, bank bailouts by the U.S. government. Paulson led the 2008 federal intervention, and he recently joined Weekend Edition host Scott Simon in our Washington, D.C. studios to talk about his long career.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Scott, it's good to be here.
Remind us, what would have happened, do you think, if government hadn't intervened?
It would have been very bad. If the system had collapsed, many, many Main Street companies, not Wall Street companies, but Main Street companies of all size would have had trouble raising the money to fund themselves, wouldn't have been able to pay their employees, who in turn wouldn't have been able to pay their bills. This would have rippled through the economy. We have today, after everything that's been done, we have a very painful unemployment situation, 10%. The Great Depression, unemployment got to 25%. Mm-hmm. I think if the system had collapsed, we easily could have had unemployment of 25%.
You acknowledge in the book, when you gave your first briefing, I guess, to President Bush when you became Secretary of the Treasury, you warned of some stuff over the horizon but never mentioned housing.
Yeah. I told the president in one of my very first meetings mm-hmm. that I thought it was highly likely that we would have a financial crisis. That's sort of the history of the world. You have them every 6, 8, 10 years. Mm-hmm. And when he asked me about the problems, I talked about these credit derivatives, I talked about hedge funds, I talked about a number of things, never mentioned housing. He said to me, what will cause the crisis if and when it comes? And I said, we don't know now. Whatever lights the spark here will seem obvious after the fact.
I want to go over some of the people who come off well and not so well in your book. That's why a lot of people will pick mm-hmm. it up. Senator, now President Obama, you spoke with him sometimes a few times a day during this period. You were impressed by him.
Yeah, there's no doubt that he was attentive. I'm very grateful for the support I felt from him and got from him in terms of supporting the difficult legislation we needed to get from Congress.
You were impressed by President Bush.
Yes. He was focused. He understood markets. He got the nub of the question very quickly. But we were forced to do things that we found abhorrent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly didn't want to go to Washington to bail out the banks, and I know he didn't. But as he looked at the consequences, he said to me, well, Hank, we may not always look so good here, but we're going to do what it takes to save this economy. And this, and of course, that's what it was always about, was the economy and the American people.
You you liked Tim Geithner, the man now your successor, was then president of the Federal Reserve.
He was, in many ways, as I say in the author's note, this story is a story of three of us, Tim Geithner, Ben Bernanke, and me, and working together. Three people who trusted each other, who had skills that complemented each other, appreciated each other. Tim he'd been an undersecretary at Treasury. He understood government and I thought had a good understanding of markets, a very creative guy.
For the, I'm sure, umpteenth time, let me ask you the moral hazard question. Why does the government wind up preventing Bear Stearns or AIG from failing but not Lehman Brothers? Or, you know, why car companies and not newspapers?
This wasn't a moral hazard company in terms of Lehman Brothers. We worked very hard.
Well, you tried to find a buyer. Barclays Bank.
To find a buyer for Lehman. And one of the worst days I had, that Sunday of that Lehman Brothers weekend, Sunday, September 14th, when we learned that the British regulator wasn't going to approve this deal. Mm-hmm. That we'd largely worked out. We were very hopeful of working out. And I just felt I wasn't asking the moral hazard problem, the question, mm-hmm. Because I knew that this was going to be very painful, not only for all those that worked at Lehman, but for the rest of the financial services industry, but for the American people. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being overcome momentarily with fear and knowing that everyone was looking to me to provide answers, and we were working with an incomplete toolbox. The U.S. government had essentially not updated the authorities and powers that the executive branch had since the Depression. Mm-hmm. And so you had powers and authorities to let if a bank were to fail, to do it in an orderly way and to liquidate it if necessary, but do it in a way in which you protected the rest of the system and the American people. Those powers didn't exist for an investment bank like Lehman Brothers. And so the key to me is to have the authority we didn't have and that we now need and that I was asking for from the day that we had to rescue Bear Stearns. We need the authority, and the Obama administration, Congress, is working on creating that authority so that if necessary, a regulator can step in and has the power to liquidate an institution and let it fail in a manner so that it doesn't hurt the American people.
Cauterize it.
That's right. And then you say, well, when do you use it? Mm-hmm. And how do you use it? And here, I think there's got to be a high bar where you have two-thirds of the board of the Federal Reserve make a declaration, two-thirds of the board of the FDIC, the executive branch, the Secretary of the Treasury. In other words, this should be an emergency authority.
A kind of surprising, maybe not surprising, recurrent theme in your book is you were a tired man. Lack of sleep.
Well, I'm grateful for the fact that I worked hard for 2.5 years and I didn't miss a single day because of exhaustion.
You refused to take anything. You were tempted.
Yeah, there was a time when some friends had given me some sleeping medication. And I didn't, Scott, I didn't want to become dependent on drugs, so I flushed them down the toilet. And as I look back, one thing I know for sure is when you're tired, little problems seem big and big problems seem insurmountable. So when I was active during the day, my head would hit the pillow and Wendy would tell me that I would be...
Wendy, your wife.
But my wife would say I'd be snoring in 5 minutes. So I was always able to go to sleep for a number of hours. But I remember a couple times that were really, really difficult. And one night where I slept almost not at all, this was in mid-November. Mm-hmm. And I was in Santa Barbara. And I had signed up some time, you know, in advance to make this speech at the Reagan Library. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty clear that after everything we'd done and the markets had stabilized for a while, now it looked like Citigroup, the biggest bank in terms of liabilities, was coming unglued, and it looked like it was getting ready to fail. And I remember lying in bed and thinking, after everything we've done, after all this, it may not work. And then I went from there to the Reagan Library, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Mm. Because Ronald Reagan had been one of my heroes. He, more than anyone else, believed in moral hazard and free markets. And I remember walking into that temple of capitalism and saying, wow, I'm going to be the Treasury Secretary more than any others that's going to be associated with bailouts. And then it hit me that that was going to be the best case. Mm-hmm. The worst case was going to be Citigroup would go down and we'd have a Great Depression.
Let me ask you to contend with this for a second. You write in this book that you think Americans ought to save more. And in fact, it was our relative lack of savings that helped propel the crisis by making us
right.
more dependent on foreign borrowers in Asia
right.
and the Middle East. But to spur the economy now, Americans have to spend more and create jobs.
That's a conundrum. But we as a nation save too little and we borrow too much, both individually and the government. And I believe, I feel so strongly about this point, that if, as a consequence of what we are going through, Americans are saving more and spending less, I think it's a good thing.
Mr. Paulson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Henry Paulson, his new book, On the Brink.
You can hear more of Scott Simon's conversation with Henry Paulson at our website, npr.org. He shares his thoughts on executive compensation and the housing market's effect on the financial crisis. And Scott Simon will be back next week. I'm Audie Cornish. I'm heading back to Capitol Hill. It's been a pleasure waking up with you. And this is Weekend Edition from NPR News, directed by Sarah Beyer Kelly and produced by Ned Wharton, Elaine Heinzman, Kimberly Adams, Gemma Waters, Veronica Miller, Thomas Pierce, Zoe Chase, and Habiba Nosheen. Our technical director is Burke Hahn. Tom Woodward is at the operations desk. Our librarian is Key Maleski, and Melissa Goh is our web producer. Our show was edited by Jeffrey Bennett. The senior editor of Weekend Edition is Jenny Burgle. The senior producer of Weekend Edition is Devar Iran Ardalan. And special thanks this morning to NPR's managing editor, David Sweeney, to NPR's Sean Fox and Bill Craven for helping us get through Blizzard 2010. I'm Audie Cornish.